He said, I am determined to continue to go forward and never to go back. Ask the Lord to give you the grace that you will continue your forward journey and never going back. That by the grace of God, when you will get to the end of your journey, the Lord will still find you standing. You will still be faithful. You will continue in the sight of God as the Lord expects of you. As you want to hear the message now, I mean, we've read the Bible and we have seen the mistake of the children of Israel. Let's pray and ask God to give us the grace not to fall into the same trap. No matter what we go through here on earth, as the message is coming now, tell the Lord to speak to you. The Lord has a message for you. The Lord has a message for me. Ask the Lord to speak to you himself. You don't want to hear the voice of any man, but you want to hear the Lord speaking to you directly. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Father, as we go through the exhortation, we ask that you will open our eyes of understanding. You will illuminate our heart. And as you teach us, especially on this important subject of moving forward on your side, I pray you will help all of us. Where we are falling, you will pick us up. And for those of us still standing, you will give us more grace to continue until the end. Speak to us now, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for you have answered. For in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Before we go this morning, we want to look at this exhortation titled, Constantly Abiding on the Lord's Side. Constantly Abiding on the Lord's Side. Let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 32. And we'll read verse 26 to start with. Exodus chapter 32, verse 26. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Now the question is, why did Moses ask this question? Who is on the Lord's side? Remember that prior to him going back to Egypt to lead them out, the Lord specifically met him through a burning bush and asked him to go back and bring his people out of the land of Egypt. But then you will wonder that these same people that the Lord asked him to go and take out of bondage, and in fact, the Lord referred to them as his children. It's the same people Moses is posing this question to. Who is on the Lord's side? Why did he ask this question? Let's go back a little to verse 7 and 8 of our text. If you see it, please, you can read the same Exodus chapter 32 so that we can understand why Moses was asking this question. Exodus chapter 32, go back a little bit to verse 7 and 8. Anybody that says it can help us.
And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.
Amen. Thank you so much for the reading. Now, I want you to take note of verse 7. It said, and the Lord said unto Moses, get thee down. And then the next thing that followed, he said, for thy people. You see, there is a change of the Lord's position here. When the Lord asked Moses to go, he sent him to go and deliver his people. He called them my people, my children. He referred to the children of Israel as my people. But in this particular passage, the Lord referred to them as thy people. It's no longer God's people, but thy people. So what we see here is that the reason Moses was making that call was because they have left their first love. In fact, they have left the side of the Lord. They are no longer on the Lord's side. And so the Lord was no longer referring to them as his people. So as you can see from there, we see that unlike the children of Israel, that we have seen in this text, as believers, it is important that we endeavor at all times to abide constantly on the Lord's side. You will have occasions, you will have situations in your places of work, at home, even on your own, when you are expected to make decisions. In the case of the children of Israel here, Moses stayed longer than they expected, and they became anxious. And they were supposed to make a decision whether to continue patiently to wait, but they decided to seek for an alternative. And that alternative pitched them against God. The same thing for us as believers. It is important to make that choice that we must constantly abide on the Lord's side. And as you can see here, Moses asked the Israelites this question. And that question requires a practical answer, which is not limited to movement to where Moses was. He wasn't asking them who is going to stand. It's not like there was a valley between them. But that question means, number one, he wanted them to separate themselves, because what they went into, the practice or worship of image, was what was common in among the nations that surrounded them. So Moses was calling them to separate themselves from the world and be fully surrendered to the Lord, because when they are fully surrendered to the Lord, it doesn't matter what situation they face, it doesn't matter where they are, they will always be on the Lord's side. It was a call to come out of false worship into spiritual worship. There are so many people today in the church. You know, on Sunday, you are in the church. Even on weekdays, sometimes you are there. But you realize that your service is just mechanical. You realize that your service, you know, sometimes you are there for one or two reasons, but spiritually, you don't have that connection. So what Moses was saying here is that, you know, yes, you may still profess God to be your Lord. You may still profess him, but you have to come out from, you know, false worship. You have to embrace scriptural worship, follow scriptural standard. He was also calling them to turn away from backsliding and, as believers, come to believe the truth, the entire truth. It was also a call to abandon the corruption and the corruptors and cleave unto God and to godliness. There are a lot of corrupting tendencies and corrupting events and occasions around us in this present time that sometimes people will ask you, are you the only one who is a believer? Are you the only one who is a Christian? Why must you always insist on this? Moses was calling us to that state where we make this decision. Again, he was also calling them to turn from religious sinners. You know, those, like you see the case of Aaron. You remember that Aaron was actually chosen by God to be Moses' assistant, to be his spokesperson. But in this case, Aaron, instead of seeking to please the Lord, he was seeking to please the people. So what this means is that for us as believers, this is also a call. He was calling them to come out from pleasing people to pleasing the Lord. And that same call is coming to you and I today. The Lord is calling us to come out of, you know, every form of occultism. Somebody will say, but pastor, I don't belong to any occult. There are people whose cult is their dressing. There are people whose cult is their culture. There are people whose cult is their status. There are people whose cult is their career. And they have made up their mind. Nothing will take me away from it. The Lord is calling us to come out of it, to come out of false worship, to come out of the corruption that is in the world. That is that we should come out of it. Some of us, we have some of these things, you know, occultism, false worship or corruption, or some practices that are peculiar to our families, peculiar to our school, peculiar to our profession. Very soon for our children, they will soon be going back to school. I remember those days, you know, it was so common that the issue of all this Halloween and some of the celebration, that even when you ask them in school, they don't understand the meaning of it. Yet for us as children, you are hell-bent, your parents to support you, you want to be part of it. The Lord is calling us today as peculiar people, like Moses made this call, that we should come to the Lord's side. And this call is relevant to every one of us. It doesn't matter how old and how long you have been in the church. It doesn't matter the position you are occupying. The Lord is calling us today, and I pray by the grace of God, we will all come out to be on the Lord's side in Jesus' name. Because of our time, we will look at this exhortation under three subheading. Subheading number one, want to see the pervasive corruption of the law's standard. What happened here? Let's go back to our text. If you see it, you can help us to read Exodus chapter 32. Let's read from verse 7 to 10. What really happened? Exodus 32, verse 7 to 10. The pervasive corruption of the law standard. What happened to the children?
Exodus chapter 32, verse 7. Unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molding calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen these people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Amen.
Amen. You see, thank you so much for the reading. The Lord was angry. You can see in that passage, not just that, in fact, Aaron, who was even chosen by God, got to the point of telling them, these be thy God, which brought thee out. How is that possible? Let's look at what the Lord said in Deuteronomy chapter. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 9, and let's see. You know, he got to that point that even though Aaron knew in the past, because for God to have chosen him, at least that showed he had the knowledge of the truth. That shows he knew what the Lord wanted. And that showed that at the point he was chosen, he was not like this. But look at what happened. He got to a stage that he was now referring to a molten image. Knowing how far, I'm sure that when Moses went to Pharaoh, so many times he went to Pharaoh to ask for him to let the children of Israel go, that Aaron was with him. He saw all the signs, he saw all the wonders, he experienced the hand of the Lord. Yet look at what he said, these be thy God. Deuteronomy chapter 9, let's look at verse 12, verse 13, and verse 20. Deuteronomy chapter 9, I read verse 12. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Sorry, I think you can read. I'm in the wrong passage. If you see it, please, you can help me.
And the Lord said unto me, arise, get thee down quickly from hence, for thy people which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten image. Furthermore, the Lord speak unto me, saying, I have seen these people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people.
20.
And the Lord was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him, and I prayed for Aaron also the same time.
Amen. So you see, the Lord was very angry because of the corruption that Aaron has aided the children of Israel and have brought, and have made them to forsake the Lord that brought them out. And what was the consequence? The Bible said, Moses said here that the Lord was angry to the point he wanted to destroy him. This was the same people he used a strong hand. This was the same people that he had to twist the hand of Pharaoh to let them go. Hosea chapter 9, verse 9. Hosea chapter 9, verse 9. Let's look at what happened here in Hosea chapter 9, verse 9. The Bible said, and they have deeply corrupted themselves as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore, he will remember their iniquity. He will visit their sin. When we allow corruption, the Bible is making us here know that instead of the Lord remembering the good things we have done, he said he will remember. He will remember their evil. He will remember that iniquity. The Lord will not forget it. And that is what we can see. I mean, the children of Israel here, the Lord blessed them. The Lord delivered them with a mighty hand. The Lord answered them. So it tells us that even though they were in good times with the Lord, the moment they sinned, what they did was what angered the Lord, and the Lord remembered their sin. Malachi chapter 2, I read verse 8 and 9. The Bible said, but ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, said the Lord of hosts. Therefore, I have also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. That is talking about corruption. Have been partial in the law, which means there is a consequence when we have not kept the word of the Lord. He said, you have caused many to stumble. We see that everywhere today, especially when it comes to the issue of, say, for example, dressing. Somebody will ask me, hey, but what does it mean? How is it my business? What other people feel? Look at what the scripture says here. He said, ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, said the Lord. Many people today, they are doing it. Sometimes as a believer, you feel your life is just yours. Some people will even boast, it is my life. I do whatever I like. But the Lord is saying here, because you have departed from my way, you are causing a stumbling block. You are affecting others negatively. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 to 20. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 to 20. If you see it, you can read. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 to 20.
These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling word of vanity, they have lost through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sorry, sir, my baby fell down. Come.
Okay, I will continue from here. They are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse than the beginning. And that was the case of the children of Israel here, except for the intervention of Moses. The Bible said, we have known the truth. But you can see here that there is a confirmation that is not only in the Old Testament, because this book, this was not written in the Old Testament. And it's confirming to the fact that there is corruption in the world. And the Lord is warning you and I. Because the corruption that pervaded the children of Israel here was actually contagious. It defiled them against God's covenant. Remember, God made a covenant, the same God that made the covenant, which was what Moses reminded him. And God said, that he was going to, make them to multiply, to inherit the earth. He was going to enlarge them. That was the promise he made to Abraham. But because of this corruption, because they allowed themselves to be drawn away, the Bible made it clear that that corruption did not just start, it did not just affect them before God, but it spread. And if you look at it, sometimes this thing starts very gradually. It starts in a very little way. We could see here that, for example, Aaron's weakness was what the people capitalized on. It made the people to go from bad to worse. And then it started gradually and it became a national corruption. The Lord is warning us today, that little mistake, that thing you think might not be noticed or you think is inconsequential, it could be like the case of Aaron. Maybe here it was a few people who came up with that idea and all of a sudden it spread like wildfire. The same thing the Lord is warning us, that what Aaron did was peculiar because Aaron was a leader. So many of us who are here, you are a worker, you are a leader, and sometimes you are not so careful about the things you do. Remember that a leader's sin will always be a leading sin. In the case of Aaron, it became a leading sin. And Moses was particularly angry because I'm sure he trusted Aaron with the responsibility of taking charge until he returned. Also for us as pastors and ministers, the sin of a pastor can be so serious because it can become a pervading sin that will affect the entire congregation, affect the church of God. But the Lord is counting on us that we need to be very careful. And we see that eventually the corruption that came into Israel, initially it was not so open, but it became a naked sin. What does it mean? It became a naked sin, which became open, and everybody could see it, and everyone in part became part of it. And a naked sin becomes a nurtured sin because they allowed it. What does this mean? Sometimes, there are things we do And that's why in this church, we say that our goal should be holiness within and without. Because I'm sure here that when he started, when the murmuring, when the complaint, when the pressure was on Aaron, he never saw the way where it was going to end. He didn't see how big it was going to be. And that's why as a believer, you're not supposed to allow that sin, no matter how little people may classify it, no matter how small people may consider it to be. God is challenging us to do that. When you allow it, you cannot determine how far it will go. And you don't even know how it's going to stop. So it is better not to allow it. And as you see, God sent Moses to Pharaoh. And like I said earlier, he told them, he said, my people, when he sent Moses to Pharaoh to go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. But because of their backsliding, God changed that phrase from my people to thy people. I pray God will not change God will not recognize you as anyone's people, but he will continue to see you as his son and his daughter and his people in Jesus' name. And we see also that what this teaches us is that some people will talk about the doctrine of eternal security. What has happened here in this context tells us that, you know, corruption is evil. And as corruption is evil, it also can affect our eternal destiny. It can destroy everything we have labored for. And so there is nothing like eternal security, as some people may have preached, because God makes it clear that when we sin, there is punishment. Let's look at Exodus chapter 32 and see what God had to do or what God said concerning these people. Exodus chapter 30, the same 32. Let's look at verse 31 to 33 of our text. You will see here that there is nothing like eternal security. You cannot say, oh, pastor, I was saved 20 years ago. I was saved 30 years ago. And so I think I'm still standing. No, that's not what the scripture says. Exodus 32, let's look at verse 31 to 33. If you see it, please, you can read.
And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, these people have sinned a great thing and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book.
Amen. So you can see here that the Lord is very clear that any form of corruption we allow, there is nothing like eternal security. You are standing with the Lord today. The Lord is challenging you to continue. If you look at Joshua chapter 24, verse 20, I read, the Bible said, if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he had done you good. There is nothing like eternal security. We must, as a matter of fact, avoid the mistake the children of Israel made here. And what is that mistake? Anything corrupting, anything that will bring us down. Examples are bound in the scripture, but time will not permit us to go through all of them one after the other. We saw the case of Aaron that we just read here. We also saw Saul. Saul was anointed as the first king in Israel. What a privilege. He was given that opportunity just like you and I, but he lost that privilege because he allowed the pressure. He wanted recognition of men. He disobeyed. And rather than going back to God and asking for forgiveness, he held on. Look at Solomon. Solomon was chosen to replace his father. You know, despite the fact that it was a privilege that was not supposed to belong to him, what happened? Solomon allowed it to slip. We saw the case of Samson, born with that anointing, born with the Spirit of God, had supernatural power beyond comprehension, yet he lost it. Judas Iscariot, the same experience. The Lord is challenging you. Let's look at John chapter 15, verse 2 and verse 6, and see what our Lord Jesus had to say and what the scripture had to say concerning the fact that there is no eternal security. What the Bible is teaching us today is that as believers, it is important we are careful to avoid anything that will take us out of the presence of God, that will corrupt our service and relationship with God. I read from verse 2, John chapter 15, verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Verse 6, I read, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth, and as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. The Lord is challenging you today that as we have begun with him, that we should continue. And if on the other hand, you look at yourself, you know, there are still things that, you know they are not totally right. It is not too late. So that you don't face this challenge. Like the Bible said, God made it clear to Moses, whosoever would go back, I will remove him out of the book of life. I pray God will not remove us in Jesus' name. That will take us to our second subheading, which is purposeful call, the lost sight. In verse 26 of our text, we saw that Moses called the people. He said, who is on the lost side? Who is he that wants to be on the lost side? Let's go back to that place. Exodus chapter 32. We're still going back to our text. Verse 26. In verse 26, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the lost side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. The Lord is making the same call to you and I today. Who is on the lost side? What it means is that you have to continue. What it means is that the journey you have begun, the decision you have made, which is the reason you are here this morning, you must continue. Let's look at verse 18 and 19. Who is on the lost side? The call the Lord is making to you today. The call the Lord made to the children of Israel. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing, I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came near to the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the table out of his hand and break them beneath the mount. This was so terrible. A people that have experienced the power of God, a people that have experienced the great deliverance by God, that have witnessed the kind of miracle that no other have witnessed, these same people descended, but the Lord did not leave them there. Moses made the call, who is on the lost side? And the call was to bring them back. Let's look at Numbers chapter 16, verse 26. Numbers chapter 16, verse 26. In verse 26 of Numbers chapter 16, and he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tent of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sin. This was the case of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, who decided to go against the command of the Lord and stand against Moses, murmur against Moses, stood up against Moses. And the Lord said, depart. The same call the Lord is making to you and I today. The call here is, he said, depart, I pray you. The Lord is asking you to depart from the tent of these wicked men and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in their sin. We need to be careful. So we could see that Moses made a purposeful call, as we saw in that text, to bring the children of Israel out of idol worship to God, you know, as to God's prescribed worship, to God's perfect world and perpetual will. Today, by the grace of God, Jesus gave us the mandate when he was living. And that mandate is for every one of us as believers. Moses made the call because he saw their state. By the grace of God, next week, Saturday, we are going out for evangelism. And the Lord is telling us, if you look at the call Jesus made, say, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That is the same mandate that Moses here, you know, it is called, typified. The Lord is reminding us of the same thing. So the Lord is asking us that we should go out and also fulfill that mandate. And we also saw that before Moses made this call, the children of Israel imitated the pagan practice of those around them. That is also one of the calls the Lord is making, that as we go out, you know, as believers, we need to come out. You know, one of the things that is very common today, you know, the festivities around us, some of us in our marriages, some of us in other aspects of our life, naming ceremony, you know, some people even birthday. I think I shared with some of us sometimes that there was a particular marriage that was dissolved because of birthday. I mean, I don't want to go into details, but these are things that are very common today. And the Lord is calling us out. He said, these festivities, the dressing and appearances, the dancing and worldly music, that is the same thing. Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? If we are on the Lord's side, the Lord is telling us that we should come out so that we don't get stained. Because these people here, they worship their idols in scanty dresses and nakedness. Today, we see people bringing it even to the church as a sister. You know, maybe not just in the church. They were in the summer period. The weather is warm. Everybody is wearing it. They are going half naked. There is nothing wrong about it. There is everything wrong about it. And that was why when Moses, you know, Moses hasn't even gotten that. But when he saw it, he knew this was not what the Lord asked for. The same thing the Lord is telling us today. We are being called out. We are being told as brothers. Sometimes, you know, when he talks about the issue of dressing, a lot of people only relate it to the brothers. To the sisters, I can also tell you as a brother, no, you need to draw the line. In everything that we do, the Lord is calling us to draw the line. There are people today who follow the norms in their family, who follow the norms in their offices. I remember those days when I was still back in Nigeria. You know, it became a practice that everybody that is somebody is doing naming, they will sew uniform. Somebody is doing burial, everything uniform. Everything could. At some point, I told them, I said, no, I don't believe in this. Now, the point I'm trying to make is that as Christians, you need to know that there are people who follow this. Some people will say, in my family, this is the way it is. A lot of times I've encountered people, they have come to a living church like this. You are being taught from the scripture, despite the fact that the message comes from the Bible, despite the fact that you can see the preacher is following and explaining the scripture. You are still stuck in the things you practice where you are coming from. You are still stuck in the things you know where you are coming from. Maybe the thing, the way it is done in your community. Some people, in fact, somebody once said, in my church where I came from, it is allowed. And because it is allowed, even though you are saying the scripture that it is not the right thing to do, you are still stuck in it. The Bible is saying that all such practices which are contrary to the word of God, we are being called out to do away with them today. Because standing on the Lord's side does not simply mean being a member of a church. Standing on the Lord's side does not simply mean, you know, like we are here today, I attended service, I'm standing on the Lord's side. I think I've been to a church where once you come to church, you are regarded as a Christian. That is not what it means. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. What does it mean to stand on the Lord's side? What is the Lord calling us onto? If you see it, please, you can help me to read. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Standing on the Lord's side. What does the Lord expect of us? And what are we called to do? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17.
Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you.
Therefore, come out from among them. He's not saying you should go and live in the moon. The Lord is not saying you should go and live in the bush. The Lord is not saying you should not talk to people. But he's saying, come out from those practices. Come out from among them and be ye separate, and do not touch the unclean thing. Isaiah 52 verse 11. Isaiah 52 verse 11. The Lord is calling us today to come out from the midst of the corruption that is in the world. Isaiah 52 verse 11. The Bible says, depart ye, go out from thence, touch not the unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. The question this morning is, do you bear the vessel of the Lord? Have you departed? We do not have the right to call others to the Lord's side if we ourselves are not totally and perfectly on the Lord's side. Exodus chapter 10, verse 11. You know, before you can call others to come and experience something, you need to have that experience yourself. So the Bible is telling us today, as we are here listening to this message, come out from among them. Do not touch the unclean thing, because that's the only time you have the right to call others. Exodus chapter 10, verse 11. If you see it, please, you can help us to read.
Exodus chapter 10, 11. Now, therefore, make confession unto the Lord God of your father, and do his pleasure, and separate yourself from the people of the land and from the strange wives.
Amen. Separate yourself. The Lord is calling us to separate ourselves. The Lord is calling us to come out from among them. So we must first of all break away distinctly from the people and ways of the world. I have noticed that in this our era, in this our dispensation, we tend to seem to feel that we are so intelligent and so knowledgeable that even when certain aspect of the message comes to us, we want to analyze, we want to use IQ, we want to ask questions. God is telling us to come out from anything unclean. That's the only time you can fulfill the condition to be it for this call. And that call is the call to be on the Lord's side. We are asked to do the same as Moses did, but for us to do it, we ourselves must be clean. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22.
2 Timothy 2, feel also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Out of a pure heart. Idolatry. Some people today, no matter how much you preach, pastor, you see this one, I am not convinced. I pray God will convince you. Occultism, ill-gotten wealth. Some of us sometimes we don't know that, you know, the little cheating you allow in your places of work, they count a lot. The Bible is saying that we should flee also youthful lusts, follow righteousness, and serve God out of a pure heart. So anything that is associated with Satan, sin, or the world, the Lord is calling us today, like Moses called the children of Israel, who is on the Lord's side, come out from among them. Before we pray, we take our last subheading. The progressive consecration, the Lord's service. You know, whenever I look at the word consecration as a Christian, something comes to my mind. You know, I always ask this question. I've never seen a parent that will give birth to a child 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, the child is not walking. I mean, no matter how careless that person is, you will be concerned. I'm sure some of us saw the video clip of that woman whose child never walked. And she met GS at the airport and the child got the miracle. You saw how she was rolling on the ground out of excitement. There are so many of us who has been in the church. So many of us who have been Christian 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, you are still at the same level. Today, the Lord will deliver you in Jesus' name. Exodus chapter 32, let's go back again and look at verse 29. Consecration of our service. What type of service does the Lord expect from us? Perhaps the problem Aaron had was that he had dwelt in one place for too long and he became lackadaisical. Exodus chapter 32, verse 29. If you see it, you can read.
Exodus chapter
32,
verse 29. For Moses had said, consecrate yourself to the day to the Lord. Even every man upon his son, upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day.
Amen. Consecration is important. Consecration is dedicating yourself and everything you have to the Lord, releasing yourself without reservation, you know, allowing the Lord to take control of everything. And you can see that Moses told them here that they need to consecrate themselves so that they will receive blessing from the Lord. He made it clear there. He said, consecrate yourself, every one of you upon, you know, he said they should consecrate themselves so that they will receive a blessing from the Lord. And today I pray we will consecrate ourselves. First Chronicles chapter 29, verse 5. First Chronicles chapter 29, verse 5. I read from here, verse 5. The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of works to be made by the hands of the artifact. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? The Lord is asking that question. Who then? Are you ready? Who then is ready to consecrate his service unto the Lord? That is the question the Lord is asking. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 29 also. Let's look at verse 15 and verse 31. Who then is ready? 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 15 and verse 31. I read, and they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the word of the Lord to clean the house of the Lord. Verse 31. Remember there, they gathered themselves and the first thing was to clean the house of the Lord. making it clean, consecrating it for the Lord's use, because the Lord is of a purer eyes than to behold iniquity. Verse 31, then Hezekiah answered and said, now ye have consecrated yourself unto the Lord. Come near. That's what brings you near. Come near and bring sacrifice and thanks offering into the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in sacrifice and thank offerings, and as many as were of free heart, burnt offerings. The Lord is telling us the same thing. Consecration is important if we are going to get the best from the Lord. Because as believers, we must consecrate. What are we to consecrate? Our skills. There are so many of us, if you go to your place of work and you find out that if you can exhibit a particular skill, maybe your salary will be increased. You will be quick to show them you have that skill. But you've been in the church. You claim to be a servant of God, but that skill, you are hiding it. When they talk about being a worker, no, it is too hard. I cannot do it. But in your place of work, you are struggling for promotion. The Lord will help us today. You consecrate. What are we to consecrate? Our profit. Some of us, like Pastor have told us the other time, you know, we need to support the work of God. Your ability and everything that we have. The Bible says whatever we have is given to us by the Lord. And the Lord expects us to consecrate it to his service without any reservation if we are going to enjoy the blessings of God. And we also see that as we grow in the knowledge of God's word, will and assignment, God has given us our God has given to us, our consecration will demand some specific actions. There are some specific things that the Lord demands from us as a sign of our consecration, because it is important for us to consecrate everything we have. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, before we look at what is demanded of us as a way of our consecration. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15. Please, if you see it, you can help us to read.
1 Corinthians 16, 15. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the fruitful first fruit of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints.
Amen. This is the Paul's testimony. They have addicted themselves. Now, as for you and I, what is the Lord desiring from us as a sign of our consecration to his service? Number one, the Lord wants us to be more teachable. We need to be more teachable. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 13. We need to be more teachable. Part of the problem we have in the Christendom today is that we seem to claim, we feel we know so much. And because we think we know so much, the Bible says, because knowledge shall increase, the love of many would wax cold. Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. Don't get to that point. A message is going on, like I'm talking now. Who is he? It's not even, why is he the one to preach? And then you begin to analyze. What he's saying, I don't agree. We need to consecrate ourselves to be more teachable. Number two, to be more prayerful. Prayer is the life wire of a Christian. Because by strength, the Bible said, no man shall prevail. We cannot make it in the Christian race without prayer. Because we need to table our request before God. Luke chapter 21, we need to increase our consecration in the area of prayer. Luke 21, verse 36, I read. The Bible said, watch ye therefore and pray always. It didn't say pray sometimes. Pray always, every day. Pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all the things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. If you are going to escape the thing that have been prophesied, if you are going to escape the corruption in the world, like we saw the children of Israel entrapped, the Bible said, pray always. Another aspect the Lord expects of us is more watchfulness. You need to be more watchful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2 to 6. More watchfulness. We need to watch more. If you see it, please, you can help me to read. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2 to 6.
Well, you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. When the people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pain begins. and there will be no escape. But you aren't in the dark about these things. Dear brothers and sisters, you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and the night. So be on your guard. Not asleep like others. Stay alert and be clear-headed.
Amen. We cannot overemphasize being watchful. As the Bible said, it will be like a thief. What about holiness? The Bible expects more holiness from us. Hebrews chapter 12. I think by now all of us should be familiar with this particular passage. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13. The Bible said, For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but for our own profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. You know, the Bible said in the same Hebrew chapter 12, that in verse 14, that we should pursue peace and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Our race will be in vain if we do not have the holiness required of us to meet with the Lord. So we must consecrate ourselves for more holiness, also more faithfulness, being faithful in the things of God. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. We should consecrate ourselves for more holiness. Our consecration means more faithfulness. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. If you see it, please, you can read.
If you are faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in the large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibility.
Amen. God expects us to be faithful in whatever assignment, no matter how little it is. Even if it's just to go and fetch water, we should be faithful in it. We also expected to be more deadness to the world, sin, and society. You cannot be a Christian and everybody in the world is your friend and they like you. No, something is wrong. We have to be dead to the world. What do I mean by the world? The practices of the world, the sin in the world, the societal values, everything that, in fact, you are the type that whatever they are doing, you must be there. Everybody, there's no distinction. I pray God will help us. The Bible says, likewise, reckon ye yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let no sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, but that ye should obey it in the laws thereof. Time would not permit, but we will continue. We also are expected to consecrate ourselves in more godliness, without which, of course, you know, we cannot see the Lord. We also expect to be more truthful. Psalm 15, verse 1 and 2. Truth is important. Of course, you cannot be a believer if you do not abide with the truth. We're expected to be consecrated, increase the level, be truthful at all time, because like we have seen, we do not know when the Son of Man. Psalm 15, verse 1 and 2. I read, the Bible said, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and walketh righteously and speaketh the truth in his heart. You know, there are some kind of truth you can say, or there are things you can say, and people will believe it to be true. But in your heart, you know you are lying. The Bible said the kind of truth that is expected of us is the one that comes from the heart that nobody can question. And then we also see that we need more fearlessness. One of the things that destroys our relationship with God is fear. When you are fearful, and fear will not allow you to trust God for who he is. Luke chapter 12, verse 2 to 5. If you see it, you can read. If you see it before me, Luke chapter 12, verse 2 to 5.
The time is coming when everything is covered up, will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. Whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered behind closed door will be shouted from the housetop for all to hear. Dear friends, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot do any more to you after that. Amen. But I will tell you,
amen. Amen. You can please stop there. The Bible said, do not be afraid of them. You don't have anything to be afraid of. Sometimes some of us, when you are given an assignment, you are asked to do a particular thing, you are afraid what might happen, how would my friend see me? The Lord is saying, consecrate yourself, forget about the fear, and submit yourself. We also need more humbleness. There is need to be humble, because humility is the only thing that God expects from us. That's the only thing that can make us submit totally to God. If we are not humble, we cannot do the work that God has committed into our hand. So humility is necessary if we are going to be useful in the hands of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. I read, it says, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. The Lord expects it from us. We are also supposed to be more open. So many times you see that you keep it to yourself. You don't want to discuss it. The Bible is challenging us. We must be open. Open to receive the word of God. Open to work with other brethren in the church. Open to accept correction. Open in different ways. Not open to sin, not open to the word, but open to the things of God. Open to do the work of God. Some of us, we have locked our corner. You don't want anybody to encroach into your corner. Even when the Lord needs your service, I pray God will help us in Jesus' name. Finally, we must be more willing. There's need for more willingness in the service of God. Before we pray, Psalm 110, verse 3. Please, if you see it, help us to read. Psalm 110, verse 3. We need.
When you go to war, your people will serve you willingly. You are arrayed in holy garment, and your strength will be renewed each day like morning dew.
Amen. Amen. The Lord is saying that there will be willingness to serve the Lord more than ever before, and to lay all on the altar if we consecrate ourselves. The question I want to ask you this morning, should the Lord stand before you today? Can you look at the service you are rendering and go gladly to him and say, Lord, I've been a faithful servant? Can you look at your commitment to the things of God as a believer and see Aaron in your life? If you see Aaron, if you see yourself having the same picture as Aaron, allowing your weakness to compromise the work of God, you need to ask God for forgiveness. But on the other hand, Moses made the call. Who is on the Lord's side? Are you on the Lord's side today? Let's go to God in prayer. I want you to commit yourself into the hands of God and ask God for grace, to give you the grace to serve. We saw those in the past who misplaced opportunity. It doesn't matter how long you have been in this service. It doesn't matter how long you have been serving the Lord. But today, the Lord is calling upon you. Who is on the Lord's side? Can you put your name there? The Bible said in the book of Isaiah, when I heard the voice of the Lord, whom shall I send? The Lord is asking the same question this morning. Who is on my side? Are you on the Lord's side? How much is your consecration? How open are you? How humble are you? What about your prayer life? What about studying of the scripture? Are you the type that is always looking for excuse to block the word of God coming to you? Why not commit yourself into the hands of God this morning? We have seen the mistake of Aaron and the children of Israel. They couldn't wait for Moses despite all that they have seen. The Lord has blessed you. The Lord has brought you to where you are. But are you sure that you have made up your mind and say, I'm going to appreciate God for what he has done, and I'm going to serve him irrespective of the condition? Like we saw in the morning, you know, Paul at the Isle of Patmos was going through a severe persecution. He was going through a difficult time, but that was not an excuse. That was the time the Lord related to him. So you don't have an excuse to say, because of this difficulty, why not commit yourself to the hands of God today? So many of you have been in the church. When they talk about joining the workforce, it's not for me. But when they talk about increasing your work hours, you want to do 2-3 jobs. Are you doing yourself a favor? Are you not like Aaron? The Lord is saying, consecrate your service unto me. Why not commit yourself into the hands of God and say, and ask the Lord to help you? Pastor, please, you can take over.
Brendan, we are still praying. We have heard the word of God today, and the Lord is asking us, who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? Are you on the Lord's side? Begin to consecrate yourself afresh unto the Lord. You cannot hear a message like this and just dust it to the side. You need to consecrate yourself unto the Lord now. Are you on the Lord's side? I remember that the people that left Egypt, like up to 1 million people, only 2 people, got to the promised land. And I wanted to ask you, if you were there that day, that they were giving reports about the Canaanites, and you see 1 million people standing alone, standing on their side, and only 2 people, would you have been able to join the 2 people? Would you say, you see your brother, your auntie Pharaoh, you are here too. You have joined them. Uncle, you joined them here too. There are too many, all of us. Let's go together, Joel. Only two people were correct out of the 1 million. Brother, are you following the social media? Are you following the TV? Who is teaching you how to live? Is it the Bible or the movie stars? Is it the Bible that you are following? Follow the scripture. Don't look by your side. I don't wonder. You see, people are always looking around. They're always looking for the wrong people to follow. They will see the right people, the right example. They will decide, this person, this one is the correct way. Since this brother is doing it, I will do it. Since this is that, but you also see the person that is doing it correctly, he will not follow that person. Are you on the Lord's side? Are you on the Lord's side? One of the timing today, no matter what, I will go with the Lord. I will be on the Lord's side. I will obey what the Bible says. No matter what, I will be on the Lord's side. Why not consecrate yourself unto the Lord? Oh Lord, help me. Help me to continue. I don't want to turn to the right or to the left. I don't want to be looking at the people that are disobeying the word of God. I want to obey you, oh God. Remember what the Bible says? That for if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and of the Savior Jesus Christ, and they get entangled therein and overcome, they said their latter end will be worse than the beginning. We should forsake the world. Say bye-bye to the world. Are you on the Lord's side? Depart ye, depart ye. Depart ye, depart ye. Go out from among them. Don't touch that unclean thing. The world may be saying it is casual. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. We are too many doing it. All of us. How can all of us be wrong? Can't you imagine it? Can't you just think about it? How can 1 million people be wrong and only 2 people, only 2? How can I, it's not reasonable at all. How can you just join us, join the people doing it? You are just being too holy. You are just trying to be too holy. Are you on the Lord's side? The Lord is calling you on the side today. Consecrate yourself unto the Lord today. Oh Lord, help me. Help me to always look unto Jesus. Help me to always obey the scripture. Help me to always look unto you, not looking to any backslider, not looking to any brother or sister that is not obeying you. Stop copying the people. The people that this sister is dressing this way, this brother is dressing this way, me too, I will dress that way. This person is a big man of God, I will dress that way too. This sister is a big woman of God, I will dress that way. Stop copying. Obey the scripture, follow the Bible. Let the Bible teach you how to dress. Let the Bible teach you how to speak. Let the Bible teach you how to behave. Let the Bible teach you how to think. Let the Bible be your standard. Are you on the Lord's side? Talk unto the Lord now. Oh Lord, to copy the Bible. From today henceforth, help me not to turn to the right or to the left. Help me, O God, to always obey you. Help me to be determined, O God, to make it to heaven at the end. Speak to the Lord now. Are you on the Lord's side in the time of prayer? Have you cut down your prayer time? Have you cut down your Bible study time? Do you still have time to pray? Do you still have time to consecrate your life unto the Lord? Do you still have time to fellowship with the brethren? You have time, like our pastor said, you are taking 2-3 jobs. You are taking 4 jobs. But when it comes to, I don't have time to fellowship. I don't have time for God now. I have work. Are you on the Lord's side? Everybody is doing it. Your friends are all doing it. They don't have time for God. and they are making too much money, you want to join them? Are you on the Lord's side? The end of all things is at hand, the Bible says. The end of all things is at hand. The end of all things is at hand. And as Moses told them, said, depart, I pray, from the tent of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. Depart from the tent of the wicked. Depart from the tent of the wicked. Don't neglect it. Don't brush it to the side and say, it doesn't matter. No matter how little it may be, as long as it is contradicting to the word of God, you have to push it out. You have to pay attention to it, because the Bible says that it is only those that are perfect in the sight of Lord. Be ye perfect even as your heavenly perfect, heavenly Father is perfect. That is the Lord's command. Be ye perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Once you see it, that is going against the word of God. No matter that everybody is doing it, you have to stand out from the crowd. You have to stand out from the crowd and say, oh Lord, oh God, I will follow the scripture. I will follow the scripture. You must be determined, just like Ruth, determined that day. And Ruth said, told Naomi that even though the sister-in-law is being back, said, don't tell me about this, that she placed a curse on herself. That was when Naomi left her. Said, if I leave you, let God punish me. If not death, that will separate me and you. That was when Naomi said, this one never told me. Or you must be determined. You must be determined personally to obey God. To obey God. You are not going to mind the things that the world is saying. Oh God, help me. Help me not to mind the things that the world is saying, to mind the trend of the world. The time you spend on social media, have you made the social media your God? And every time you're on the phone, every time you're on the social media, every time you're watching movies, what of time to pray? What of time to study the Bible? What of time to fellowship? What of time to engage in spiritual activity? Are you on the Lord's side? Are you on the Lord's side? It will make you shed tears when you hear what Aaron said. Aaron said to the people, he said, this be the God, O Israel, which brought you up out of Egypt. It's very disheartening that a man of God could say this. Ask the Lord for grace. Ask the Lord for grace to continue unto the end and not to come to a situation. Aaron could not handle that situation. That situation could have come to you too. That situation could have come to you too. Why not ask the Lord for grace? Why not ask the Lord for grace? Where Aaron failed, you are going to overcome. Where Aaron failed, you are going to overcome. Oh God, help me to be an overcomer. Help me to continue to hold on, even unto the end. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Father, Lord, we thank you. We exalt your name. We honor and magnify you for your word that has come forth. I pray, Lord, for every one of us, oh God. Help us to be on your side always. Help us, O Lord, that the scripture will be our guide always. Help us, O God, each and every one of us to consecrate our lives afresh unto you. Our finances, O God, we consecrate to you. Our time, we consecrate unto you. Everything that we have, O God, we are consecrating unto you. Help us, O God, to always look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We are not going to look unto the things that the world is doing around us. We are not going to be looking at the things that the backsliders are doing around us. We are looking unto you, Jesus Christ. Help us to finish well, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. O Lord, I commit your servants that you have used to edify us today. Father, O Lord, the Bible says that he that watereth shall be watered. I pray, Lord, that all the virtues that has gone out of him, O God, let him be replenished, O God, 100-fold in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that this message, O God, will not stand against him on the day of judgment, but this message will stand to qualify him on the day of judgment in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, uphold him and strengthen him till the end of his time on earth here in Jesus' name. Father, for every one of us, O God, thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done for us. As we go, Lord, let your presence go with us. I pray that no weapon formed against any of us shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise up against us in judgment, I condemn them all. In the name of Jesus Christ. I pray, O God, every mountain before any of us, O God, let them be taken away from us in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, who are thou, O great mountain, before any of us? They shall become a plain. Let them become a plain right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray each and every one of us strengthen us, O God, to do exploit for you in the name of Jesus. O Lord, this week we are entering, O God, we are asking for strength. Strength to continue to consecrate our life unto you. Strength to continue to give you the services that is acceptable in your sight in the name of Jesus. Strength to continue even unto the end. Like your son said, oh God, we are not going to be backslide like Samson. We are not going to end like Lot's wife. We are not going to be like Demas. We are not going to end the way Solomon ended at the end of his life. Father, oh God, help us to continue even unto the end. And we will finish well like Apostle Paul. That we have fought a good fight of it. And we will, oh God, stand firm and faithful even unto the end. Let your name be glorified in our lives. We thank and exalt you for edifying us today. We worship you and magnify your name. For in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen. Let's unmute our mics and say amen.
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 God bless you so much.